Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the lengths that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society.
That is Edward Snowden warning us last year in one of several interviews that have surfaced, warning of the powers that the federal government is granting to itself above and beyond and outside the scope of their authority that's granted to them by the Constitution. Criminals with power, aspiring tyrants. Well, all of that can seem like grim news, but we here at Radio Free Readout are bringing you encouragement. We want to inform you on the issues. We want to let you know that you're not alone. You're not crazy because you are a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot that embraces Americanism and American heritage and everything that made this culture exceptional. This is episode 14-22 on this beautiful, yet another beautiful 8th day of June. And man, are we closing down on the 27th, 28th, 29th of June? Quickly, it's approaching. And of course, we know that's the God and Country celebration in Marble, and we'll be talking a little bit. We'll remind you of that later on in the show as well. And the ARRL Field Day communications. The wires are going to be on fire with ham radio communications on their field day, which is that same weekend. And well, we got a lot of things to talk about as far as that goes. Tonight, at the end of the show, we were going to be airing episode 2 of the Pat O'Leary Line. And what else we got? Several things on the docket for tonight. I'm just going to briefly cover some of the news and commentary. Not going to, you know, pour my heart into it or anything. I just want to throw a few stories out there that I think that are worthy of us following. And then Fox 519 had so many economic related stories. He had such a difficult time trying to condense it into a, you know, 3 to 5 minute EOE, Eye on the Economy. I said, well, hey, why don't we just sit down and we'll just talk. We'll, you know, make a small segment out of it. And so that's what we're going to do here in just a few minutes. And let's see. We are going to also be talking about T-Rex 2014. That's coming up. I'm going to be talking about Bo Bergdahl because I've had so many people ask about that. Ask me for my input. And this is an area that I do have expertise in. And so I am going to talk about that situation because I have some very strong feelings about that. And that is something that I take personally. And then we are going to I'm going to answer some communications questions that some folks have sent in. And we are going to be announcing and the rollout of a AMRON membership program called AMRON Core. And that will be, we'll be rolling that out on the 15th of June, next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. And I'll be sending out an email to all of our membership and letting you guys know about that. But I will also be talking about it this evening. So we have all that stuff to look forward to. And so let's get right into the news and commentary on Radio Free Redoubt. News and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. And you can go to 299days.com to learn more. The announcement that we were talking about getting him on the air for this week, we're going to push that back because the announcement actually, what he's going to be announcing is actually not going to be implemented until August. So we didn't want to just blow it, you know, this far out. So we'll be doing that maybe next weekend. Anyway, you can learn more about that whole book series on the collapse and the rebuilding over at 299days.com, like I just said. Okay, I got a report, a sit rep in on the fire. In case you guys aren't aware of it, there is a fire just west of Bend, Oregon that started yesterday about 1300 hours local time. And it quickly grew because of 25 to 35 mile an hour winds. It's at the time that I received this a couple of hours ago, the fire is at 6,200 acres. It's zero contained. And they've already implemented in some of the areas their level one evacuation, which means stand by and prepare. That means pack your stuff and be ready. They've issued those notices. And about 250 homes have already received level three notice evacuation notices, which means get out now, evacuation immediately. That's your level three. And it'll be interesting to watch this and get sit reps, especially from the communicators and AMRON operators in that area. By the way, AMRON is not being put into implementation because of that fire right now. We do have AMRON operators in that area and HAM operators, and they're sharing information back and forth, but they're not, you know, they're not using the communications SOI schedule frequencies and times and everything per se at this time. But we are going to watch this because we will be incorporating evacuation type scenarios depending on where you are in the country into the T-Rex 2014 exercise. But for this real world situation outside of Bend, Oregon, they're already setting up Red Cross relief shelters at some of the middle schools. And so there we are. That's it. I'm going to keep you guys posted. We'll probably put some stuff up on Facebook and then also on radioforreadout.com. Potentially anything communications related, we will get posted over there at amron.com. There's also something that I wanted to share with you guys. It's not really news related, but a few of you sent this video to me that was posted over at freedomoutpost.com. We'll get a link up there and then also get that video uploaded to our video library. This lady lays out the legal constitutional case that the firearms laws are completely unconstitutional. Any and all federal gun laws are unconstitutional. I wholeheartedly agree with her. And I've done my share of research. Many of you have as well. And it doesn't take a constitutional lawyer to very easily reach the conclusion that all federal gun laws are unconstitutional. So we're going to get that posted there for you guys to check that out. It's really good. Very informative. Now, speaking of gun laws and more gun laws that people want to try to pass, Dianne Feinstein and those on the left are continuing with their efforts to turn the United States into a nation of snitches. You can get a restraining order against someone if they're threatening you, harassing you. But now, see, they want to change this. They want to make it this is called the Pause for Safety Act, which would allow anyone at any time to seek a firearms restraining order. Firearms, no knives, no, you know, vehicles, just strictly firearms. Restraining order against an individual to prevent them from purchasing any new firearms and also to confiscate any firearms they may already own. And this is from Barbara Boxer's website there in California. Obviously, this is going to fall flat on its face. But the mentality and the arrogance of these people and the willingness, it makes them show their true colors. The willingness and the lengths that they'll go through to violate the Constitution that they took an oath to defend. It continuously affirms that they're liars. But anyway, we still want to talk about that because sometimes people say, what do you mean the federal government's? They're not trying to take your guns. What's an example? It's weird, actually, when you run into somebody like that. But I have in the past, and they want to challenge you on this. What do you mean that the government's trying to, they're not trying to take your children. They're not trying to act like the parents. Really? Well, hey, here's another story. Some of you guys probably already heard about this. This one will make your blood boil. In Michigan, this woman takes her 17-year-old daughter to the hospital. She sees a sign hanging up, and the sign says that the nurse will need to have a short 5-minute private conversation with your child, and you as the parent are not allowed to be in this meeting, this 5-minute meeting. And they say that they are there to talk to your kids about sex and about drugs and contraceptives. The parent's not allowed to be there. Another reason to get out of Michigan. Oh, there are so many. Now, this woman did the right thing. She protested. She called the manager out and confronted her on it. They're trying to convince her, well, this is state law. We don't have a choice. But actually, the law is written so... it's so ambiguous. They basically interpreted it prematurely. They jumped the gun. They interpreted this law as to mean that, well, they have the right and the duty, moral obligation, to take your child anywhere from the ages of 12 to 17 years old to have this private 5-minute conversation with your child as young as 12 that you are not allowed to be in there for. Well, since the hospital pulled the sign down, apparently they didn't do their homework, but this will be back. These trends are continuing where the parents they have less and less control and less sovereignty as the parents to be able to call the shots with children, with their own children. So let's talk about more government control. This is why we're covering this stuff, because we've got to be able to say, we have to be informed. We cannot be ignorant. There are so many people that do not believe or understand the scope of this. What Snowden and so many other people have warned us about, the more and more control that they are gathering to themselves. And the tyranny that we are headed toward at lightning speed. Attorney General Eric Holder unveiled a plan to create a new Justice Department task force this week that will focus on the threat of homegrown terrorism. See, they're not just adding homegrown terrorism to their whole repertoire of, the things that they can, need funding for and training and everything else. Now they want to create a specific task force dedicated to this. In a video posted to the department's website Monday, which was later removed, Holder argued that the focus on terrorism should return to the U.S. as opposed to remaining overseas. Yeah, let's let these five Taliban head honchos, let's let them out of prison, set them over, and then we'll just stop watching them on top of it. We need to turn our attention toward the homegrown terrorists. Those that talk about the Constitution and homeschool and vote for third-party candidates, those kind of guys, got to watch them very, very closely. All right, just a couple more, and then we'll take a quick break. A restaurant from Breitbart, restaurant with no weapons and no concealed firearms sign, robbed at gunpoint. Isn't that something? A Durham, North Carolina restaurant with a sign on its front door reading "No weapons and no concealed firearms" was robbed at gunpoint on May 19th. Isn't that something? Making, gunsfreedom.com published a photograph of the sign on May 21st, making it, this is the name of the restaurant, The Pit, a self-declaring gun-free zone. At the same time, at the same kind of zone, Michael Bloomberg and Moms Demand Action for Guns Sense in America pressure other restaurants into becoming. Well, and then, of course, they were assaulted. Around 9 p.m., three men wearing hoodies entered the restaurant through the back doors with pistols and forced several staff members to lie on the floor. The armed men also assaulted two employees during the crime. They didn't describe what kind of an assault this was. And then the assaulted employee pointed to the sign saying, "No firearms allowed," and the three criminals said, "Darn it," and they ran out the door because they didn't want to be in violation of their no gun. No, I'm kidding. So what they did is they said, "Hey, this is a victim zone. Nobody here can defend themselves, so come on in. Do whatever you want with us because we're powerless to do anything about it except file a police report afterward." Anyway, that's about it. Now, remember last week when I said, "Hey, let's get some ideas." A listener recommended, "Let's get some ideas out here shared by other self-reliant patriots. What are they doing to become more self-reliant? What are you doing with your family? What are you doing with your children this summer? What do you do as a family to become self-reliant? And share some of your stories that maybe we could pass on to others." Well, I got one right off the bat, so I'll just go ahead and read that. "Hi, John. I'm very glad to be back from California." Oh, you had to leave. Oh, well, you made it back safe, so welcome back. "We're so blessed to live here in North Idaho. I heard on your show you wanted emails about how people are prepping. We have been running a small organic farm where we've been teaching families from our church to raise food for their families." See, now this is beautiful. They're not just prepping for themselves. All right, we got to get our family prepared. We got to store stuff up. They're using this as a platform to teach others to become self-reliant. It's a training ground. They teach them how to do it, how to can it, how to freeze it, how to dehydrate it, basically how to prepare it for storage. Each year, and then I'll continue. Each year we would take in six families, and then the next year they would go out on their own. We have done this about 15 to 18 families. We have two 28-foot by 105-foot greenhouses and have been working on things that don't grow so well here or don't have enough time to ripen. We grow peppers, tomatoes, cucumbers, and sweet potatoes in the greenhouses. See, this is the counter argument to the people who say, "Oh, you don't want to move to the American Redoubt. They have too short of a growing season." Well, have you ever heard of a greenhouse? Because that's how you get all those things that require a longer growing season. "This year, we took one family in and they got enough veggies for the whole year. We're also, this year, letting some people work for food. Lots of weeding to do. We are always thinking of if we were on our own in North Idaho and can't get food from the stores. This year, we are trying sugar beets for making organic sugar. We can handle that part, but still want to find someone that wants to experiment with making ethanol. You can make both with sugar beets. If this works well this year, I can grow more next year. Thank you, Juliet Charlie 42. So very exciting that these guys are doing something that doesn't just benefit their own family. It actually benefits their community because they are teaching others. They're not just giving a fish to someone, or they're not just keeping it for themselves. They're going a step beyond giving someone else a fish. They're teaching them how to fish. That's the American way. Not like, no, Lenin, that's the communist way. He said, "You can give a man a fish. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach him to fish and squander an opportunity to rule over him." But see, that's how the communists think. This is very good. Thank you for being an American patriot. Great testimony there. Okay, we're going to just take a quick break and come back, and we will be joined by Fox 519 here on Radio Free Readout. Stay right there. In that, you know, despite America, 70 to 80% of Americans claim Christianity as their religion. Of course, they don't act like it, but that's how they identify themselves. What's your religion? I'm Christian. Now, of course, we're seeing humanism, rapidly come up in our culture. But the second, let's see here, in the country and in 13 of our states now, according to this report, They say that in 20 U.S. states, predominantly in the South and the Midwest, Islam is the second most prevalent non-Christian faith system. Judaism, in contrast, is the second biggest religion in 14 of the U.S. states and Washington, D.C. Of course, that's primarily in the Northeast, a few exceptions. But it's spreading, and we've mentioned this before, and this is what the American Readout movement is based on. It is a demographic shift. Right now, we have a shifting of Central and South American citizens that are moving in and dominating in the Southwest. We have Islam that is spreading from about, you could call Michigan the epicenter, spreading out from there. And then what you're seeing is a shift of conservative Christians into the Inland Pacific Northwest, the American Redoubt, into the Appalachians, further north into northern, New Hampshire, New York, up in the upper parts of those states. And the shifting's taking place. Pat Buchanan has written extensively about this, but very interesting that Islam is basically affirmed in the United States and in at least 20 of the states in America. 20 of these states now, the second largest religion is Islam. They have a mission to take over the world. And they've pretty much already done that in Europe. It has forever changed the demographics of Europe, all in the name of openness. They don't want to protect their culture, their border, or their language. And they don't want to protect their culture, really. Americanism means accept everything else, with the exception of Americanism. And that's why we're losing it. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to get Fox 519 sat down. And we are going to talk about some things that he had so many articles about the news. He's like, man, I got to do a whole segment. I can't just confine this to just 3 minutes. Well, you're going to have to. No, I told him, no. Hey, let's sit down and talk about some of it then. So that's what we're going to do right after the short break. And then we're going to get on some of these other things, bigger and greater and better things, stuff that includes you guys, stuff that you can sink your teeth into.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519. Hey, there are some weeks that the financial news is like drinking from a fire hose, and there are some weeks that it kind of sounds like this. But there are some weeks when there's so much information that I can't possibly fit it into one small EOE segment for you. So, this week I'll be bringing you a live broadcast along with John Jacob on the status of our economy. Listen in for Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Segment two on Radio Free Redoubt. Got Fox 519 standing by here. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They provide outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, which is right in the heart of the American Redoubt. Learn more. If you need help finding a property that's right for you, go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com or just click on the banner there on the website. They'll take you right on through to their website. On the economy, too much material to cover. Let me get your mic. Hold on. Let me get your mic. Stand by one. Get your microphone. All right. We're joined today this evening by Fox 519. He does the exclusive Eye on the Economy reports for Radio Free Redoubt, and we always look forward to hearing those. But he contacted me and says, there is so much. I cannot do this in a 3 to 5 minute Eye on the Economy, and there's some really important things that I really want to get out to the people. And so we said, hey, let's just do a segment. Let's just set aside, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, just to talk about some of these issues and how they could affect our patriots and preppers and redoubters, patriots, not just across the American Redoubt, but really all patriots across the country. So, Fox 519, thanks for joining us in this segment. It's good to have you with us on the air.
Always good to be with you, buddy.
Now, we've got a bunch of stories, and you sent some of these notes to me, some of the outlines, and I don't even know how you sift through it all. So, is there a specific... What's at the top of the list? What do you want to discuss first?
Well, I think that one of the major themes from what I'm seeing here in this last week is the term escalation in the financial markets, escalation in the unemployment situation, escalation in the downward spiral. I can't get it out this evening, of the dollar as it's falling apart. I've had. Yeah, like you said, I couldn't possibly fit everything into a 3 to 5 minute segment. So I wanted to make sure the listeners understand and know that some weeks, yes, it is extremely quiet and it's like pulling teeth to find a story that's important to them. But this week, I probably have 10 different headlines. We can't cover them all, but I've pulled out some of the big ones that I think that are most important. I guess we'll just kind of begin at the top.
Yeah, let's go international. What's happening there?
International. China and Russia back up to their tricks again. One of the biggest things that we're seeing is the renminbi or the yuan is surpassing the dollar in terms of use of international payment settlements. Mm-hmm. Financial Times this week is reporting that the value of the renminbi payments between the U.S. and the rest of the world rose by 327% in April of this year. I mean, that when you see a number like that jump, you're understanding that the world is beginning to use the yuan over the dollar. Yes. The dollar is still the number one in SWIFT transactions throughout the world, according to the banking world that I belong in. But when you see the yuan beginning to grow like that and know that people are losing faith in the dollar, they just can't possibly say, oh, I'm going to keep using the dollar. No, because China and Russia are positioning themselves. I mean, it just was reported this week. Jim Willey was on. He's a famous economist, but they have 40,000 metric tons of gold between those two countries.
Yes. The largest purchasers of gold in the world.
Oh, it's staggering how much gold that they've been buying up, because we know they're positioning themselves to become the next reserve currency on the planet. Now, some people would debate me that and say, no, the dollar will never use its status. But you can't look at these numbers and say it's up 327% in 1 month. I mean,
yeah,
nothing grows over 300% besides our debt to GDP, like I reported last week. That is just so mega, so huge. companies like HSBC and Chase are they're all seeing increases in this. In fact, there's a list that rotates throughout the banking industry of the top SWIFT-based transactions, and China was number three last week. I mean, sometimes they're between number three, number five, number seven. When I saw it come across my desk at work, it was number three. You know, wow, that tells me that it's slowly – not slowly, but really, truly gaining steam. So from an international standpoint, we know that these guys have been doing this over the last 6 months. So, last time I think you and I got a chance to talk, it was, you know, they were number 15th or 16th in the world. I mean, so they are rapidly doing this. And I think the escalation of what we're seeing with Russia, you know, and our president is, you know, we know that they're positioning themselves saying we're going to try to get away from this dollar as quickly as possible.
Yes.
The BRICS are doing it. They're getting ready to kick that last leg out.
Well, that's the only thing that's holding up the dollar, you know, such as it is the petrodollar. The fact that it's being all the oil transactions are being traded in U.S. dollars, or the majority of them, creating the demand for the U.S. dollar, which keeps the value up. But that tide is turning quickly.
Oh yeah, and with the deal between Russia and China with the gas pipeline, I mean, they're going to be doing that exclusively. In yuan and in the ruble, they're trading that back and forth. I mean, we're either going to see a petro yuan or renminbi or a petro ruble. Mm-hmm. Either way, we're seeing it. And now Russia is beginning to talk with Japan as well. So
How would they play into this?
Well, it's natural gas and it's resources. I mean, Japan's an island, but at the same time, they need all the things that we need.
Right.
You know, so they're just trying to basically take our resources, not our resources, but take our positioning away, saying, well, you want to use the dollar? No, we're not going to use the dollar anymore. If you take away our dollar power, the U.S. loses its foothold in the global market really quickly that way.
Oh, of course. Okay, so what's the next thing? Let's bring it a little bit closer to home.
No problem. $15 minimum wage on the other side of Washington State. This Whoa. Right here, Whoa. This is bad. This is so bad. I would say to any of the listeners, if you are planning on going to Seattle, Olympia, anywhere like that up and down the coast, I would say right away you've got to make your vacation plans happen, because what's going to happen is with this $15 minimum wage passing, yes, it's going to take 3 to 4 years to implement. One, thousands of jobs are going to be lost. And the reason for that is that the employers are not going to be able to pay the $15 minimum wage. That's just not going to happen.
Well, especially services industries, you know, hotels and things like that.
Right. Hotels, fast food chains, anybody who would pay that, you know, to any students. It's going to kill jobs. I mean, if we think in Washington State, our actual unemployment rate is 23.4%. No. This is going to go to like the 50% range for anybody who's 16 to 25 years old. Just the stupidest possible thing they could come up with.
Latte is going to be $9.
I would say more than that. I mean, when you do that, I mean, these guys, to offset their costs, you know, you think about coffee for a second. One, the price per pound is so high. Two, there's a big global shortage of coffee at the moment just because there was some sort of mold spore or something that killed off the plants. But yeah, it's going to be so expensive. A dinner at McDonald's is going to be the equivalent of going out to dinner at like a Chandler Steakhouse or something like that. It's going to be so ridiculously expensive that today's modern family can't possibly afford it. But what this is showing a bigger sign of is the drive towards inflation,
mm-hmm.
the absolute drive towards inflation. Because what you try to do is when you raise the wage to offset the cost of any expenses you have to buy, automatically the cost of those expenses increase.
Yeah.
We're doing is printing money out of – we're not printing money, but the economy is going to be printing money. And what that's going to do, you're right, it's going to make a latte $9. A hamburger at McDonald's is going to be, you know, a cheeseburger for that matter, a nasty little cheeseburger for that matter. It's going to be within the $10 range for a whole Happy Meal. I mean
– okay, now where is this being implemented? Is this the whole West Coast? Or how is it not affecting the whole state? Or is it just the Seattle city limits?
Yeah, Seattle SeaTac right now are the only ones that are doing it, but this is going to set precedence for other areas. Spokane, Olympia, I would say Yakima. I mean, all these people are going to go, well, if they can do it, we can do it. The craziest thing about this, though, was when I read it, I went back and I read a couple different passages. I went back and I read some stuff out of Glenn's book, and I went back and I read some stuff out of JWR's book, Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these things that are happening are falling right in line with what these guys are saying and what our economists are saying. Inflation is going up. So people, they're going to have to do something to offset those costs.
Right.
This is exactly that. They're going to raise the minimum wage to $15. Sure, that may be 40 grand a year, but how far is that 40 grand going to run? And how quickly is that going to spread like cancer across the state of Washington and maybe over into Idaho and other parts of the redoubt?
Yeah.
So I would say to the listeners right away, you've got to, one, make your trips happen if you're going to do it. Two, just plan on if it's, well, how do I describe this? You've got to make sure that you've got at least get some of your preps done, because if there's stuff coming out of Seattle that you're buying, it's going to get really expensive real quick.
Yeah. And they're going to try to, you know, that's going to spread like a cancer, no doubt.
Oh,
say, oh, this is so wonderful. Let's make it a, let's pass it at the state level now.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't they take it to the state house and try to pass it and say, look what it's done for Seattle. It's made everybody a living wage. It's like, no, I don't think so.
That's just amazing that a city, a municipality can pass a minimum wage requirement. Okay. So, all right. Now there's another, there's another issue too that's coming up. You were talking about negative interest rates.
Yeah. And this is the big mega hurricane story of the week. This one said should really cause everyone to really kind of, dare I say, have their buttholes tighten a bit on this one. When the ECB has decided that they are going to slowly implement a negative interest rate, what that means on a global scale is that anytime a bank wants to house money with the ECB on the overnight rate, they're going to have to pay the ECB 0.01% of that deposit to have that money held at that bank.
What's the ECB?
The European Central Bank. So okay. Basically their equivalent of the Fed.
Okay.
What this tells alternative economists like myself is that, one, the ECB has printed themselves into a position that they have to try to generate revenue in some shape or form to offset the liabilities that they have created for themselves.
Right.
Now, I think what Draghi was trying to do was to try to stimulate banks to loan the money out instead of housing it with the ECB, thus generating more interest or more income that banks could pay back the loans that they've borrowed from the ECB. And I'm trying to simplify this as best as possible for the listeners, because this is a really confusing subject. People go, well, how does it have anything to do with me? Well, what you're going to see is this is going to be kind of a trickle-down effect. It's probably not going to happen in the United States right away, because it's mainly going to affect European banks. But if we look at Europe, they are at least 6 months ahead of us in any sort of financial financial waterfall. Right, trend. That'd be a great way to look at it.
Okay.
Is that if the ECB can do it, pull it off and charge banks to house deposits with them to try to offset their liabilities, the Fed will fall right in behind that and say, you know what, I think we're going to do the same thing.
And we've seen this before. I always thought that the Fed just kind of set the trend for the ECB, for the European banks. But this is actually the other way around.
Yes. And I mean, obviously, at some level, I believe the ECB and the Fed are probably owned by the same institution.
Well, yeah.
Some long term.
Good point.
Yeah. But the fact that the ECB is having to take this measure first is telling me that they're in worse trouble than we are. But that's when their economy goes south, ours follows suit, just because there's so many ties between that. And as you know, we know that they're trying to tie this tie our global market together into through the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We know that their economy is going to, you know, basically mirror our economy. So what that means to the listener is that you've got, if your bank starts sending you notices about fees they're going to charge you, anything new that's changing, you got to read under the surface a little bit more. I mean, obviously, because I'm still hiding in the hen house, theoretically, I'm going to be keeping the listeners apprised. If I see things like this taking place, I'm going to let everybody know right away. Listen,
right?
You know, behind the scenes, they're going to start charging banks, which means the banks are going to roll that down to the consumer. But like I said last week, you know, if they're going to have to haircut accounts, they're already building that database to do so. So what this means to you and I is that, one, keep absolute minimum in your account. Don't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know, don't keep all your wealth out of the bank. You know, gold and silver, we've talked about this before. So this is a big, big thing. And when they start charging banks to house deposits with them, it just tells me that their liabilities are way out of control.
Which is just, more proof, more affirmation of what we already know.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the escalation of it. I mean, we've been talking about this and talking about this, and you know, some weeks it feels like we're beating a dead horse, but when all of a sudden headlines like this start to hit, it's telling me we are just that much closer to watching this entire thing fall apart. And I do, I mean, I got a really interesting email from Rock, Rock20, I believe is who it was, asking, you know, because you guys had all gone to the event here a couple weeks ago. Joel Skousen seemed to feel that that wasn't going to happen, that there was going to be some type of military incursion or nuclear.
Oh, yeah. Rock02.
Yeah, Rock02.
Codename Rock02.
So I wanted to make sure that I just took like 2 seconds to address this question on air, that I agree with what Joel says to some extent, Rock. However, I feel like economics are going to be a major, major part of that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, as things begin to fall apart, all this stuff is going to hit at once. We're going to see the economy crumble. We're going to see the emergence of possibly a global financial institution. But at the same time, we're going to see this big, massive, I'll call it, like I said before, the event, some other things that are going to take place. But this is all going to come together at one nasty big head, and it's going to pop, and we're going to see this big thing emerge out of it. However, our economy is not going to even remotely make it through that event.
Mm. Yeah, so. And what a better way to take over a continent? I mean, instead of nuking it, if you could take it intact,
yeah,
you know, destroy it economically and starve people off and send them back to the Stone Ages that way, you're going to be better off.
Absolutely.
Weimar Republic.
Yep, and it's. I think it's exactly where they're going. That's why the Trans-Pacific Partnership is alive and well, and they're going to try to put that together. You know, I've been watching the economy slowly, and I say escalate and crumble. So,
yeah,
that's my perspective on things.
Sheesh. Okay, so we got about 1 minute left. So,
okay.
Now what was this other? There was something else that you were mentioning. The Bank Investment Daily had some things. Let's touch on that real quick.
Bank Investment Daily is a banking newsletter that basically flows throughout the banking industry that gives you kind of the inside track on what's going on throughout other banks and institutions. This week it rolled out on June 6th. There was some kind of major stories that hit. One, it actually has to do with the reduction of force throughout the banking industry overall. There's a banking newsletter that circulates throughout the banking industry called Bank Investment Daily. And on June 6th, what we saw is there were several major stories that came out of this. One, there's a bank called Fifth Third Bank on the East Coast. What they're actually doing is they are going to be cutting approximately 19% of their workforce, almost 1,000 jobs. Instead of having tellers and people at the bank, you're going to walk in and be serviced by only machines. I mean, that's pretty significant when you take 20% of a workforce of a well-known East Coast bank. Not only that, U.S. Bank and has basically announced they are going to be freezing all new hires. They're cutting non-essential travel, and they told employees in their technology unit they're going to have to take a week without pay. You think that's going to go like a lead balloon?
Yeah.
These kind of behind the scene things that listeners don't hear that I see are telling me that banks are struggling. They're having a hard time keeping liquidity. They're having a hard time making money. I mean, when you tell a unit of your bank, which is huge, like U.S. Bank, and I've worked for U.S. Bank before, and told them, sorry, I can't pay you for a week, that's massive. So to the listener, things are escalating. You've got to pay really super close attention to your finances. Don't keep hardly anything in the bank that you don't need to keep there.
Yeah. You know, you've got automatic bill pay or stuff like that. Just keep the minimum what you need to be able to conduct, you know, your operations or, you know, continue to function. And these are really important things because it's stuff that we already know, but it's so easy to forget when we're being told regularly in the newspapers or any other media how great things are. And it's a lie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just this week, I mean, MSNBC came out, oh, the unemployment rate's down to 6.3%. Bull.
Yeah.
We know that's actually at 37.2% because basically that's the percentage of people in the workforce 16 years or older who are not participating in the workforce.
Exactly.
You know, it's 62.8% of people actually doing it. So you're right. We can't believe anything they're saying out there in the mainstream media because they're bought and sold by the president and the Fed.
Yeah. The whole system.
Yeah,
the machine. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, hey, it was really great having you in here with us, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time to do that, and you know, kind of bring a special report and go into a little bit more depth than you were really able to, you know, through a regular, you know, Eye on the Economy segment. And so great to have you with us.
Oh, always great to be back with you. God bless you, buddy.
All right, Fox 519 here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate checking in from Occupied Territory, wishing I was in the American Redoubt right now. You're tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. In a teotwaki or major national emergency, if you have to travel to get to your retreat or to the American Redoubt, you should be planning and mapping your routes now. That means a primary, secondary, alternate, and an all else fails movement plan. That plan should include a printed list of redoubters in the American Redoubt network along your route, to include call signs, locations, and the communications equipment and frequencies they have listed in the ARN member directory. And make sure your equipment matches theirs. Being able to connect with other known redoubters for assistance can save lives. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening. This is John Jacob Schmidt, Radio Free Redoubt. John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for your emails. Thank you so much, and God bless you for your support to help us continue to grow. We've got so many things going on. We are working on our Comms Up 2 video this week to have ready for the summer of survival. And so we're really excited about that. Segment 3, by the way, is brought to you by Katie Armour, the maker and manufacturer of Level 3 AR-500 body armor with front set plates, side plates, katiearmour.com. And, of course, those have the anti-spalling plate covering. Really good, high quality product. Really good stuff. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR10 or let's see, 5RFR whenever you make your purchase. And thank them also for helping to support Radio Free Redoubt. It helps cover some of the costs of our internet and the Skype and things like that. The real hard costs. So we're very grateful for that. Okay. Bo Bergdahl. People saying, oh, he's a dirty, rotten traitor. He's a scoundrel. He needs the firing squad. He needs, you know, all this stuff. Now, this is something that I know something about. This realm of things. I understand things don't look good for him. Let me take you back. June 30th, 2009. I remember the day that he was taken by the Taliban. I remember the day that he went missing. I remember where I was. I was on a plane from Fort Carson, Colorado, and started getting the news. And follow this very closely because this is the kind of stuff that I worked in. Now, since he's been captured and then, of course, released, we've seen videos come out that looked like he was making propaganda. Very clearly propaganda type of videos and statements, things like this. Okay. Violation of the code of conduct. But while a service member is in captivity, they have a code of conduct, a 6-point code of conduct. There are 6 articles. Among that is you must keep faith. You must keep faith in the United States. Now, that works both ways. It looked bad. But see, you don't know what type of coercion, what somebody's going through
When you watch a video, there are so much to it that intelligence personnel can tell you what's, they can pull so much from a video. But they also know that it can be very controlled. See, they have the initiative. They have the control. They have the balls in their court. They get to control what the finished product looks like and whether it gets released or not. Now, the videos that were released of Bo Bergdahl look incriminating, but I want to explain something. Until a service member is returned, we also have an obligation to keep faith with him or her. It was shameful to see some of these retired officers go on Fox News and some of these others pundits talking about, I mean, within weeks of him being captured and within days or hours of the first propaganda videos coming out, he's a dirty, rotten traitor. He needs to be strung up and everything else. Now, if this guy's hanging by a thread to what little faith he still has in America, his enemy is going to exploit that. They're going to show him the videos. They're going to say, nobody loves you. America doesn't love you. Look, they're calling you a traitor. You know, you have no place to go. We are your friends. And utterly destroy, when you're in the hands of an exploiter like that, like the Taliban, they are exploiters. They miss lots of golden opportunities, but still, they were exploiting him. Okay, so the bottom line is we are required to keep the faith with our service members until they come home because there is a process. He's going through a 3-part reintegration process right now, and he's in phase 2 of a 3-part reintegration process. There's a ton of stuff going on from psychological evaluations, medical evaluations, intelligence personnel. There's debriefs. There are SEER debriefs. Everything else is going on. During this process, they will also be accumulating his statements, all the facts that we have, videos that were released by his captors. All of this will be taken into context. He will be back briefed and he'll be held accountable for everything that he says and does. And everything that he said and did. So since we asked our service members when you're in captivity to keep the faith with your government, that we're going to do whatever it takes to get you out of there, that we won't forget about you, then we have to keep faith in them as well. To give them the benefit of the doubt, because the enemy is going to try to make you look like a traitor, even if you're not. So then you can't tell the difference between a true traitor and one that isn't. That's just being made out to look like a traitor to his country. Now that he's back, there is a process. There will be congressional oversight. The military will be going pouring over everything, and your conduct is reviewed. And we need to let that process play out because many things are going to come to light through the investigation of this process. He still has a phase 3 of his reintegration to go through. Now, let's talk about the code of conduct. I'm not going to put this guy on trial right now, and neither should any of you. Article 3 says, if I'm captured, I will continue to resist by all means available. I'll make every effort to escape and to aid others to escape. There are reports that he did have an escape attempt and he was recaptured. But he also said, if I'm captured, I will continue to resist by all means available. It does not appear that he resisted. This is what we know so far and what it appears. Article 5, when questioned, should I become a prisoner of war? I'm required to give name, rank, service number, date of birth. I will evade answering all further questions to the utmost of my ability. And I will make no oral or written statements disloyal to my country and its allies, or harmful to their cause. Article 6 says, I will never forget that I'm an American fighting for freedom, responsible for my actions. He will be held accountable for his actions. Dedicated to the principles which made my country free, I will trust in my God and in the United States of America. So, since that's required of him, it should be required of us to keep faith with him until this process plays out. Any one of us could get lambasted. It's coming. Look what they do to patriots. It's going to be a matter of time before somebody in the media tries to look what they did to Sarah Palin when they realized that she was a threat to the left, when they realized how powerful of an influence she was, the timing was perfect for that personality to land on the world stage. They were scared. The left was scared to death when Sarah Palin appeared. They did not even hold back. They said, we have to destroy her, whatever it takes. And did they succeed? Yes. But that could happen to me. That could happen to Chuck Baldwin. That could happen to Matt Shea. That could happen to Trey Gowdy, the senator, South Carolina, Florida, who's going after these guys, Benghazi. Any one of us could be the targets of a character assassination campaign. We need you guys to keep faith in us no matter what they say, because you know our character beforehand going in, right? Well, we don't know anything about Bo Bergdahl, but we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. The point is, when the bad guys are trying to change your opinion about somebody to make them out to be bad, you need to give them the benefit of the doubt and then let it play out. Now, the code of conduct is not a legal guide for service members. It is a moral guide. But there, what gives that teeth is the UCMJ. The different components of this code of conduct, moral guide, to give them moral guidance. When they're confused, when they're scared, when they're tired and don't know what to do, and they're at the hands of an enemy who's threatening to cut their head off, and their head's spinning like a top and their brain scrambled on the inside, and they're not sure what to do. It's a very simple 6-point code of conduct to give them guidance. But the UCMJ, could they prosecute him? Yes. Article 85 covers desertion. It does not look good for him in that department. Article 99 covers misbehavior before the enemy. Misbehavior before the enemy is anything that would endanger the safety of a command, unit, place, ship, or military property. The information that he gave could endanger them. It was his duty of the accused to defend a certain command, unit, place, ship, that the accused committed certain disobedience, neglect, or intentional misconduct, like leaving your weapons and just wandering off base. That's neglect. That's intentional misconduct. This doesn't look good for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. It appears that he helped the enemy. It appears that he deserted. It appeared that he assisted his captors after they got their hands on him. It appeared that he aided them and that there was misconduct as a prisoner. So, was he in violation of the code of conduct based on what we know? Yes. Was he in violation of the UCMJ? It appears so. So, the UCMJ states that for these things, if found guilty, then he is deserving of the death penalty. Most of us agree. If it's true, then that's what should happen to him. But here's the thing. That's not going to happen to him. But they're probably going to drag him through the coals. They're going to let him be made out to be a traitor. Now, this is not good for the Obama administration, because they're trying to act like they just brought a hero home. And now it turns out that he appears to not be the hero that they originally made him out to be. On top of that, this administration and Obama himself broke the law through this process. They also put our country in danger because we have a longstanding policy of not negotiating with terrorists. Now we just let 5 of the most high-level, dangerous Taliban high-level people, let them go where they got to be held for 1 year in Qatar. Now, hold on to that for a second. Qatar. So they can't just go right back to Afghanistan and rejoin the Taliban, right? Why that was part of a deal, why that was significant, I don't know. Before we start talking about prosecuting Bo Bergdahl, there are other, if we're going to prosecute him for treason, let's take a look at a couple of other things. Article 104, aiding the enemy. Did he aid the enemy? It appears that he did. Any person who aids, attempts to aid the enemy with arms, ammunition, supplies, money, or other things. Aiding the enemy. That falls under Article 104 of the UCMJ. All military personnel fall under the UCMJ. Is the commander-in-chief not part of the military? The commander-in-chief, if he allowed Stinger missiles to fall into the hands to distribute them covertly to Taliban, who then shoot down our American service members in a Chinook, wouldn't that be aiding the enemy? Wouldn't that be a violation of Article 104? Wouldn't that be something that's worthy of the death penalty? Without proper authority, knowingly harbors or protects or gives intelligence to or communicates or corresponds with or holds any intercourse with the enemy, either directly or indirectly, shall suffer death or such other punishment as a court-martial or military commission may direct. So what are you talking about? Article 99, misbehavior before the enemy. Section 9 of Article 99 says, when the person does not afford all practicable relief and assistance to any troops, combatants, vessels, or aircraft of the armed forces belonging to the United States or their allies when engaged in battle, shall be punished by death or such other punishment as a court-martial may direct. Let me read that to you again. When a person is in violation of Section 9, Article 99, which is misbehavior before the enemy, when this person does not afford all practicable relief and assistance to any troops, combatants, vessels, or aircraft of the armed forces belonging to the United States or their allies when engaged in battle, shall be punished by death. So if you have an ambassador surrounded by Navy SEALs that are trapped in Libya under fire from a terrorist ambush, a pre-planned assault by an enemy who's closing in on them, and you've got this raging battle, and they are calling for assistance and help, and that call has to be made at the highest level. The commander-in-chief of the United States military refuses to make that call. When those gunships could have been there, could have made it to Benghazi in time, and they're ordered to stand down. And then all the other details, Trey Doughty is going to blow this thing wide open. And when he does expose these people, Obama, Hillary Clinton. And by the way, Article 99 covers all members of the military. Doesn't that cover the commander-in-chief as well? But this is not the whole thing. That's not the whole story. Obama already said he's ultimately responsible for the Benghazi. He said, if there's a security, but check this out. He said, when asked about this right after Benghazi, he said, what my attitude on this is if we find out there was a big breakdown and somebody didn't do their job, they'll be held accountable. Really? Ultimately, as commander-in-chief, I am responsible, and I don't shy away from that responsibility. Well, good, commander-in-chief. Thank you for your confession, because you're in violation of Article 99. You did not afford practical relief or assistance to troops that were under fire, combatants, American service members, and an ambassador that were engaged in battle, and you could have helped them, and you did not. And you just admitted that you're ultimately responsible as commander-in-chief. You accepted responsibility for it. Are you willing to accept the consequences and face the punishment of that? Face a court-martial? I don't know. What's the process of that? Court-martial the commander-in-chief? That would be unprecedented. So, listen to this. There's a recent book called Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. This whole thing was about transfer of Stinger missiles. Military records and sources reveal that on July 25th, 2012, Taliban fighters in Kunar province successfully targeted a U.S. Army CH-47 helicopter, American helicopter, with a new generation Stinger missile. They recovered the serial numbers from the Stinger missile. In 2012, they recovered this, what's left of a Stinger missile that was fired at an Army Chinook helicopter. But when it all came down, the Stinger was tracked back to a lot that had been signed out by the CIA, not during the anti-Soviet jihad. And his sources in this story, in this book, the sources in the U.S. Special Operations community believe the Stinger fired against the Chinook was part of the same lot the CIA turned over to the Qataris in early 2011. Qatar, the same country. Okay, let me just try to summarize this for you. We send Stinger missiles to Libya to help them fight off Gaddafi's forces so that Gaddafi could be toppled. All right, these are Al-Qaeda members that are largely part of this group to overthrow Gaddafi. We give them Stingers signed out by the CIA. Suddenly, these Stinger missiles, supposedly getting rediverted to Syria, end up all of a sudden in Afghanistan. Stinger missiles, the components with the serial number pulled out of a Chinook that went down because a Stinger missile fired at it by Taliban in Afghanistan, and these were signed out by the CIA going to Benghazi, going to Libya. This whole thing is such a stinking cover-up. We want to prosecute some scared, young, untrained kid because he says America should never be here and it's horrible and we suck and rah, 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 and say, oh, he's a traitor, give him the death penalty. We have no business prosecuting that young man unless we are also going to hold these other people accountable, that the damage they are doing makes what Bergdahl did pale in comparison. There's people on all levels that need to go down for treason before some kid does who made a stupid video, walked off base. And should he be held accountable if it's true? Yes, absolutely. And you know what? It might not be true that Obama committed treason too. But that's what a trial is for, so those things can come to light. Give him a fair shake. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Assume that he's innocent. Lay out all the facts. And then if he's guilty, he's deserving of the death penalty, just like any other traitor. That's my take. We'll be back in a minute.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. In a TEOTWAKI or major national emergency, if you have to travel to get to your retreat or to the American Redoubt, you should be planning and mapping your routes now. That means a primary, secondary, alternate, and an all else fails movement plan. That plan should include a printed list of redoubters in the American Redoubt Network along your route, to include call signs, locations, and the communications equipment and frequencies they have listed in the ARN member directory. And make sure your equipment matches theirs. Being able to connect with other known redoubters for assistance can save lives. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project in AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Redoubt blog to learn more.
Segment four on Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by AMP3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project, building and selling medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. And they are on the road. Go to amp3.net to learn how to see them in a town across the United States at one of the many different expos that they're at. And don't forget to sign up for Dave's Wound Care Suture Techniques classes, top of the line training coming to you. If you're anywhere around Chattanooga, Tennessee, or if you are anywhere around Pomona, California, they've got three dates. And I think this last date that they were in Seaside, Oregon. I'm pretty sure they were in Seaside, Oregon this last week. I'm jealous. That's pretty cool. Okay. Oh, when you guys correspond with us, John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, whenever you correspond with us, I got a firm talking to by Polly01, codename Polly01. She emailed me and said, look, I can't handle it anymore. These people email, tell them to include their Amron code name or just immediately bounce it back to them. Just immediately respond. Okay. I don't know who Jim Perkins Smith, whatever it is. And he's asking questions about his member. And okay. So I said, all right. You work your butt off for Radio Free Redoubt. The least I can do is make sure that people correctly identify themselves. So make sure you use your code name whenever you send correspondence. We much appreciate it. That way we don't have to return it and say, please send your code name, and then act and look like snobs. Okay. So, that would really help if you did that. Okay. Special announcement. We are taking things to another level now with Amron, and based on your prompting and feedback, consulting, many people out there, we're developing Amron Core. It is for members that are stepping up and taking an active role within Amron. It will help develop our communications. More to follow on this. This will be launched the 15th of June, so a week from tomorrow. And this is what's happening. We have over 1,000 members now. Most of which are involved in Amron, and we do not have the participation and dedication at the level we should for that. You're only going to have a small percentage of people regularly actively participate in that. Okay. So what we are going to do is implement Amron Core. The Amron Core is a core group of dedicated Amron operators. This will be a paid membership to help support the many different things that we're doing with Amron to grow. And we're not a money grubber. We're capitalists, but we're not doing this to make money. But what we are doing, the more we grow, the more it costs. And we cannot ignore that. Now, it almost seems antithetical to take the most dedicated volunteers in the Amron organization and then charge them. You should be charging the other people. But actually, there's a couple things on this. First of all, organizationally, when people are invested, then they participate more. They take ownership and they get more involved. Secondly, it actually increases membership because other people feel like, hey, what am I missing out on? Something's even more cool over there. Okay, so then they want to get involved, and that helps your organization grow. And get this. I ran this by some of the more dedicated regular Amron operators, at least some of them. I didn't get a chance to get a hold of everybody. Almost unanimously, the response was overwhelmingly positive. They're like, heck yeah, I'll pay for a membership. You bet. We need to make this thing happen. And that will weed out the people that aren't serious. They're like kind of him-hawing. Yeah, I guess I'll join a net. Maybe I'll be in a net. Well, I'm thinking about it. And boy, I'd sure like to, but you know, maybe whatever. All of a sudden, they're like, we want people that we can count on. So what we're going to do is we're going to develop this program. We're developing this program and have been for a while.
And we're going to roll that out. So what we're going to do is have a Pro Boards forum. This will be a forum for discussing by state, creating strong and make our network stronger and allow for communications, even within the state among the Ameron operators. This is a beautiful forum, and that will be available, interactive, great way to communicate and really take the real active Ameron operators to another level. And we are also working on an encrypted mail and messaging system to continue taking PerSec and OPSec seriously. We're also going to add some net control support, net control scripts, and a reporting system with net reports that we'll be able to provide, because one of the problems that we've had is we don't get to see how we do in the nets. What's the progress? What, how many did we get checked in? How'd we do? And so that's also going to be part of that system. I will also be putting out a communique for the Ameron Corps members that will be dealing with specific Ameron Corps issues. There will also be doing some practical exercises that are going to be a lot of fun, and they're going to be great training tools to help all of us grow. We'll also be doing some additional nets off to the side from our regularly scheduled nets for training on certain, trying to, developing different skill sets and maintaining skill sets and readiness. And then of course we'll be putting other training material up there as well and getting into some of the other ham radio related communications, modes and methods. Now, as I said, I struggled with this, chart. How can we charge? How can we charge the most dedicated people? But they are inherently dedicated and willing to pay a membership fee to help support this. And what's interesting, though, when you study this, I did a little bit of studying and research on memberships and paid memberships and stuff. The people who pay a membership get more involved, and they take more ownership, like I just said. And then the people who are not as involved, they feel left out. So then they want to become a member because they don't know what they're missing out on. And then when they step up, now they're invested, and now they actually become more actively and directly involved than they ever were before. And the people who don't want to pay a membership fee, oh, you're just in it for the money, or you're just, I ain't paying that, I'm, whatever it is. Those are the people that don't normally, they're not involved anyway. The people that scream the loudest over, oh, I can't believe you're doing this. Those are the people who you can't count on anyway. They don't show up to the nets. They don't practice with their gear. They're a name on a free roster. Okay, so, and then also, this won't actually really apply to many of you as well, because let's, for example, if you're a Black Echo rebroadcasting station, there might not be a need for you to get involved in, more ham radio nets and things like that, because it doesn't really pertain to you. Maybe you got a shortwave radio, you want to listen, and you're committed. You'll be there on game day. You've got your communications equipment to monitor, and you've got a CB station where you're going to retransmit and relay critical information throughout your community on your CB. That's fine. That's a person that might not necessarily need to become an Ameron Corps member. But so it might not fit everyone as well, depending on how you're contributing within Ameron. But the real higher level voice digital HF, that team needs to really be very proficient, and they need to be dedicated. And I mean balanced dedicated, like you're involved in regular nets, but I don't want this to overtake anybody's life or rob time away from the family or just become this new monster in your life that overtakes you. We're not going to do that. Okay, but we do need increased participation from the level that we have it now. And this is going to get us those results that we need and everybody's asking for, and that the Ameron operators that I have consulted with are overwhelmingly supportive of this, saying it's way overdue. So that's what we're going to do. And just prayerfully approach all of this and just watch it grow, because it is growing. Okay, guys, let's just break off real quick here, and then we come back. I want to got a couple communications questions, and then we'll wrap things up for tonight. So stay right there, and we'll go into segment five in just a second. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.com.
Segment five and the last segment on Radio Free Redoubt. Okay, we've got some letters. Let's cover some communication stuff here. Actually, you know what? Am I forgetting something? I don't think so. God and Country, the 26th, 7th, 8th, no, 27th, 28th, 29th. That's coming up, along with the ARRL Field Day. It's an opportunity to take your field, your communications equipment to the field, on a mountaintop, in the back of your car, at a rest stop, in your backyard, whatever. Get away from the 110, 220. Get away from commercial power. Knock the dust off that generator. Let's charge up your batteries, whatever it is. Go off grid. Take your stuff. Go on a little overnight camping trip with your family if you can't make it to God and Country. Set up your communication stuff and see what it can do. And it can be a lot of fun, really connecting with other people, or just monitoring, trying to listen. What all can I listen to? And there's going to be, this is a nationwide thing. This is not AMRON. This is ARRL, the Amateur Radio Relay League. So there's going to be a lot of information, the airwaves are just going to be on fire with traffic going all over the place. All right. Now, I got, actually, let me talk about T-Rex. Well, I don't have anything more for T-Rex, except we are working on the page for T-Rex 2014, which will be in August. That is not National Preparedness Day. That is just simply T-Rex 2014. That will be a 3-day exercise, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We pulled the T-Rex 2012 flyer down because we're reformatting it for 2014. And this will be a scenario-based training exercise for you to implement your personal or family or group church disaster preparedness plan, including communications. And we'll have scenarios that we'll be playing out and what we're going to ask for. We could just start it right now. If you are interested in being a destination station or a initiating station, let us know. What that means is we're going to have scenarios where a message has to get from point A to point B. So if the message starts with one station, that's the initiating station. We will email you in advance. Here's your scenario. Here's your little message. And this is where you need to get it to. You might be on FRS. You might be on CB. You might be on ham radio. Okay. And that message needs to get from one part of the country to the other. We'll have more details on that stuff and how to do that. But if you're interested, let us know. And what we're going to do, don't let us know yet. We're not actually ready for that. What we need to know we're going to have a small questionnaire. So, you know, what's your primary communications? What do you listen on? What do you communicate, transmit on? And where are you located generally? And then are you interested in being a receiving station or an originating station? And we'll incorporate that into the T-Rex 2014 scenario. Very cool. Okay, I got a letter from a listener this afternoon. This is a very common question, so it's timely. It's good that we address this. He says, there's more than one Bofeng listed on Amazon. Which should I get? Okay, that's the $5,000. No, that's the $39 question. Okay, which Bofeng do I get? I'll tell you right now, the UV5R. Just stop there. Just stop. UV5R, period. Don't UV5RA, UV5RE, UV5R plus, the UV82, all the stuff. Just so stop right there. The Bofeng, whatever you want to call it. They did it right the first time. This is just one of those things where they keep trying to come up with improvements. Okay. The UV5R plus, the new improvement, which was not an improvement, does not even accept the long life batteries. They came out with a 3,800 milliamp battery, a long life battery. It makes your radio look like a tall radio, but it also, it's like four times the power stored. It's a 3,800 milliamp long life battery for the UV5R. And when they came out with the 5R plus, guess what? That 3,800 milliamp battery doesn't fit. You have to modify it with a Dremel tool and X-Acto knife and everything else to try to make it fit. Now, they did come out with a long life 3,600 milliamp battery that will go with that the newer radios, but they're almost impossible to find. And then once again, because the 5Rs are so common, you want to try to standardize. So since so many people have the 5R, if you get a 5R, now your batteries and your chargers for those radios are compatible with one another. There are, you know, several new models out now, and they look like great little radios. But when you're looking at the whole thing, in large picture, you want to try to standardize as much as possible. Your battery goes dead and you're away from your truck, your buddy can go, oh, hold on, here's one of mine. And then you snap it in. You're good to go again. Right? It's just like everybody having the same weapon, for example. Everybody's got an M4, not a problem. I can hand you a magazine. You know, I can pull my spare firing pin out of my handle and I can swap it. Now you got a good firing pin. If you standardize, but you're going to have the one person that's got the one radio that nobody else has, and then his batteries go out and he's pretty much out of luck. I've been in those situations before. It always seems like it's that guy that's got some wazoo out of left field, some kind of new something piece of equipment that no one else has. And guess whose breaks? So anyway, try to standardize as much as you can. And the UV5R for right now, that's now they got a new GT3 radio out. That looks awesome, but it looks awesome. Okay. Just because it looks cool, will it accept the UV5R batteries? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I'm not sure if the chargers are even the same. So try to go standard until you find, let Bofeng keep playing with all these different, you know, 30 models that they have out now. Let them get that dialed in and come out with a real improved radio. And then you can adjust from there. But they did it right the first time. The Bofeng UV5R is awesome little radio for the price. Can't beat it. Okay. Let's see. Gosh, man, I got to get this wrapped up. I really got to get things wrapped up. Did I cover everything? I'm just paranoid here. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I'll just post it on the website if I forgot something. All right. Or if you think that I forgot something, email me. I'll get you guys all taken care of. Anyway, God bless you guys. Thanks for sticking around and putting up with me tonight. Fumbling through my notes here. It was kind of funny, but, Partisan Diaries is coming up. This is part two in the Patrick O'Leary line. And this episode's called The Doctor Is In. And that's the story of Fanny Rota Kananchi, part of the underground smuggling network in World War II, smuggling VIPs, pilots, and other Western servicemen behind enemy lines, sneaking them out to safety. Is a great story of resistance. This whole Pat O'Leary line was really cool. And I was privileged to be able to do the voice for, I think it's the number three. I think it's the one that's going to air next week. And that was a lot of fun to be able to do that for Codename Chloe. Anyway, enjoy this one tonight, episode two, The Doctor Is In. And then after that, we'll play an episode of I Was a Communist for the FBI. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the North Nevada Prepper Group.net, the audio file, and the Amron 2 meter net that aired from the nets this last week. That is up at Amron.com. You can hear a real Amron 2 meter ham radio net. It's all sanitized, bleeped out to protect the names and identities of the operators that. But that turned out really good. And you can listen to that over on Amron.com. I think it's the most recent posting that was put up. And that'll help some of you that are, let's try to, you know, just curious about what an Amron net sounds like. All right, guys, until we meet again, I just want to say God bless you and yours. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support and the letters of encouragement. I can't tell you how much it means. And I will be responding to getting all of those caught up here over the next few days. So thanks again. And until we meet next week for episode 14-23, I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.